Well, for more on this and the agreement between Russia, Ukraine, the EU and the US, we've been getting the Russian view. Maxim Peshkov is the Russian ambassador to Ireland. He spoke to us earlier this weekend on the provisions of the joint plan.
The ideas are very positive, but all these ideas must be fulfilled. And by the way, I must say that this agreement was signed by four sides on the eve of Easter. And this year, Easter in Catholic Church and in Orthodox Church is in the same day. I think it's a rather prominent fact, and I hope that this coincidence will help all of us to reach our main goal, the stability in Ukraine.
What's the most significant or what's the most important part from the Russian point of view for implementation? Is there one particular step Russia is keen to see first?
I think all of them are equal. All of them, it's a complex of measures that must be fulfilled. And I think that if it will go the way it is planned, it is agreed, I think it's the best way to reach the end of the Ukrainian crisis.
Outside of Ukraine, obviously, there have been significant Russian troop movements on the borders with Ukraine. NATO has also escalated on its side. Will we see a significant stepping down of external actors in this as well?
External. There are two aspects of this Ukrainian crisis and ways out. First of all, the problems existing in Ukraine could be and should be solved only by Ukrainians by themselves. Other sides, I mean external sides, like Russia, like United States, EU, like OSCE, our role will be to help them to reach solution of this problem and to control the fulfillment of all what's necessary for the reachment of this goal. The main controlling role, as soon as I understand from the meeting, will be with OSCE, with the mission of their observers in Ukraine. The main role, of course, it's with Ukrainians themselves. They must make a historic decision to come out of this crisis. And how to reach it? Well, it's shown in this very short but very strong statement signed by four sides.
Do you think there'll be any extra public statements coming from the Russian side to some of the groups within eastern Ukraine who have been seen as separatist or pro-Russian, because they haven't been exactly happy with the agreement in Geneva? Do you think that Russia has a particular role to play in communicating with these groups?
By the way, how do you understand the word separatist? My question to you.
Well, with all due respect, Ambassador, the groups who have been seen to be raising Russian flags on public buildings, I suppose, have been the groups that have been called separatists. So, for want of a better word, the groups leaning towards Russia in eastern Ukraine, is there a special role, given that they're unhappy with perhaps what's emanating from Geneva, is there a particular role in terms of public communication that Russia might play in speaking to those groups?
Well, first of all, it's a great and fatal mistake in your understanding of the word separatism. Separatism means that one part of the country wants to separate from their motherland and to go elsewhere. We don't hear any word from the eastern or southern part of Ukraine that they want to separate from Ukraine. They want only one thing. They want the wider autonomy within their own regions. And not only the fatal mistake to call them separatists, but it's a kind of provocation and falsification of the real situation. Then you speak about Russian banners and so on. While in Maidan we've seen European flags, we've seen American flags, it doesn't mean that right sector or Kyiv wants to become the 51st state of United States. So it's logic. As for some new statements, I think that this statement was very clear for everybody. And the main idea is that all Ukrainian sides must fulfill all that it's written in this statement. I must stress all sides, not only those who live in southern and eastern parts of Ukraine, but everybody. If we speak about disarmament, it means not only disarmament of those groups in south and east of Ukraine, but we mean the so-called right sector, some groups connected with this Party Svoboda and others. All of them must be disarmed.
In terms of looking ahead then to the elections on May 25th, obviously Russia has an interest in the outcome of these elections in terms of dealing with its neighbour. Does Russia have any particular concerns? Does it have any view on the outcome of the election? Does it have any view of what would constitute a legitimate government in Ukraine post those elections?
Quite a question. By the way, I must note that no a word about elections in Ukraine is in this statement, first of all. As for the preparation for these elections, we are analyzing the whole situation very thoroughly, and we see that there are some processes which we couldn't call positive. Why? Because some of the candidates for presidency were beaten, were oppressed. It's not a democratic way for preparation for elections. Anyhow, the main thing is to stabilize the situation in Ukraine, then any kind of elections could be legitimate and positive.
Finally then, in terms of the de-escalation of the situation in eastern and southern Ukraine, in his televised address, President Putin made reference to assistance given to local defense forces in Crimea. Is there any such assistance being given to similar local defense forces in eastern and southern Ukraine, to your knowledge?
In the same press conference of Mr. Putin, it was said that no Russian forces are and were in eastern or southern parts of Ukraine. Crimea, it's something different. Why? Because we didn't send any forces there. They were there. We, as of course you know, have a Navy official, Navy and legal Navy base in Crimea. So our forces were there, but they didn't take part in any activity, in any actions and so on. But they were in a stage of higher alert. If something would have happened there, then they could be, well, used. But fortunately, it didn't happen. As for southern and eastern parts of Ukraine, not only Putin, but Lavrov stressed, toughly stressed, that no Russian soldiers were on the territory of Ukraine.
Could I ask you finally then, whatever constitutional change takes place within Ukraine, if it results in the federalization of Ukraine, if it results in some of the regions in eastern and southern Ukraine, perhaps in the future expressing a desire to follow Crimea and join in the Russian Federation, is this something that Russia has a view of? Is this something Russia leaves open as an option to the eastern and southern regions?
You see, we have a joke in Russian language. If my grandma had a beard, she would have been a grandpa. That's my answer.
The Russian ambassador to Ireland, Maxim Peshkov. The main news again. Reports say that at least two people have been killed in a gun battle at a makeshift checkpoint in eastern Ukraine, manned by pro-Russian separatists. Reuters news agency reports the separatists is claiming that they'd come under attack near Slovyansk from Ukrainian paramilitaries. The Psychiatric Nurses Association has said a more efficient system must be put in place by the health minister and the health service executive for reporting adverse incidents or deaths within the mental health system. The PNA says it's extremely concerned that the premature discharge of patients or delays in being admitted to psychiatric facilities has led to people taking their own lives. On this programme, the General Secretary of the PNA, Des Kavanagh, said a comprehensive reporting system would provide clarity on the figures.
On the production team this week were John Burke, Mark O'Flynn, and on sound, Noel Roberts. You can listen back to a podcast of the programme, or indeed just listen to the programme itself, on a new version of our site, www.rte/thisweek. And if you want to contact us about anything you've heard on the programme, you can contact us at thisweek@rte.ie. We're back at the same time next week. From Richard Crowley and me, Cullum O'Mungine, happy Easter.